Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Financey Podcast. Firstly, thank you for taking time out of your days to listen to my podcast. I would not be where I am without you all. And just a little quick update, I've been doing well at my university. And of course, being a college student, I'm always busy and always needing some energy to start off my day right. Like everyone listening, we all want an alternative to a sugary energy drink or something quick at home when studying for midterms. My go-to drink is Magic Mind. I usually take one shot a day, helping me feel vibrant and ready to start off my school day with ingredients ranging from lion mane mushroom and ceremonial grade matcha. My Magic Mind drink tastes sweet and tangy, all at the same time allowing me to get my nutrients in, but also enjoy the drink as well. And for me, over the past few weeks, I've felt this boost in focus in my schoolwork and a decrease in stress as I manage school and my social life. So check out Magic Mind. Hoping you start your day off right. And with my code FINANZ20, you can get 40% off your Nets subscription order. Now, in this episode, I am joined by another amazing guest, Mrs. Sarah Malik. Mrs. Malik has had a fantastic career in the finance world. Sarah is currently the Chief Investment Officer of Nuveen, one of the largest investment management firms in the world. Previously, she spent her first 6 years at JP Morgan Asset Management and Equity Research. Sarah was recognized as one of pensions and investments' most influential women in institutional investing in 2023 and has been profiled in Barron's, which ranked her among the top 100 most influential women in U.S. finance. She was also named one of LinkedIn's top voices in finance. Sarah holds a bachelor's degree in economics from Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo and a master's of finance from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Lastly, she holds the CFA. Mrs. Malik, welcome and thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Logan. Great to be here. Feel free to call me Sarah.
Gotcha. So Sarah, before we dive deeper into kind of your career at Nuveen, obviously we'd love to discuss your early career. To just start it off, I'd love to hear your story on how you got interested in finance, the investment management industry, and how your journey led you to ascend to the top of the corporate ladder at Nuveen.
Sure. Well, probably two things that were pretty influential when I got an early start were that, first of all, I come from a non-traditional path. And second of all, I had to learn to invest in myself. I grew up in Stockton, California. And when I was in high school and I went to my guidance counselor and asked him what I should do after high school, his advice to me was that he didn't think I should go to college because he didn't think I would make it through a four-year university. So I had to learn pretty quickly to invest in myself. And I was fortunate. My mother was a medical doctor, but she loved the stock market. So her enthusiasm and passion for the markets really rubbed off on me. And during my early college years at Cal Poly, so I didn't listen to my guidance counselor, I did go to Cal Poly, I became very interested in the markets. And I ended up getting my Series 7 and 63 licenses and working as a stockbroker part-time when I was about 19 years old and a junior in college. And I started publishing my own stock market newsletter. And I did that until I graduated. And when I graduated, I thought, well, this will be easy for me to get onto Wall Street because I've already been picking stocks. So I applied to 20 Wall Street firms, and I didn't even get an interview at a single one. I got a polite HR letter rejecting me and saying no thank you. So that's when I learned I had to continue investing in myself. I did that by going to University of Wisconsin-Madison for my master's in finance. I went into their applied security analysis program, and that's where JP Morgan hired me from. I also learned another side to that coin, which is I needed to find others to invest in me because, as you can see, no matter how hard I worked, I still needed help from other people. And I was very fortunate that JP Morgan, took that chance on me because I didn't come necessarily from a traditional school that Wall Street hires from. And that's how I got my start onto Wall Street.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it's a very unique story. Read a lot about it. And, just congrats on all your success, Sarah.
Thank you.
And, just to jump into kind of, the main topic of today's discussion, which is just, thoughts on the U.S. economy and the stock market. This past year, we've seen the U.S. economy just be resilient in the face of high interest rates. this fear of a recession and that everyone predicted, most economists. I was just curious, what is your market outlook for 2024? Do you see the Fed accomplishing a soft landing to avoid a recession? If so, what comes after this so-called soft landing?
But that consistent theme for 2023 and for 2024 so far has been the strength of the economy and the strength of technology stocks. And that's been continuing. The economy's been driven basically by two factors. That's consumer spending and strong employment markets. And then, of course, the mega cap technology stocks performing very well, not only because of their resilient business models to and through the pandemic, cost cutting, and of course, artificial intelligence. So where do we go from here? I am a little bit concerned going into the rest of 2024. Markets are currently trading at a premium to their averages. The Fed, which we came into this year expecting 6 to 7 rate cuts. Our expectation, that was consensus, our expectation has been for only 3 to 4 rate cuts this year. And I think that's going to be disappointing for the markets. We're seeing yields move back up. That's normally a headwind for equity. So as we wrap up first quarter earnings, my question is, what is the catalyst to take us higher from here? I think it's difficult to find that. And also, let's not forget, it's not only a US election year, we're going to have elections in 77 countries this year. That represents 60% of GDP. Normally, markets are higher volatility in election years, and the closer an election race is, usually the more volatile to the markets are and to the downside. So I am worried, given the levels of S&P 500 valuations, that there could be volatility and even some downside from here.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I kind of want to follow up to your one point in regards to the Magnificent Seven. Just the rise of ChatGPT and AI, as you mentioned, kind of boosted market returns in 2023. And this overall momentum isn't really stopping, as we've seen kind of early on in 2024. Should investors just keep loading up on these Mag Seven stocks as returns have been so strong, not only in the past few years, but extremely amazing in 2023? And could we see AI continue to do well as it enters into new markets like mixed reality or the crypto space?
Well, I think it always makes good sense as an investor to remain diversified and to look to other asset classes that may have lagged and may have their own upside catalysts. But let's start with technology and think about, do they deserve to be where they are? Well, first of all, fourth quarter earnings, Magnificent Seven technology stocks, about 60% year-over-year earnings growth versus the rest of the S&P, which is growing about 4 to 5% over a year. So yes, these companies do deserve to have a premium valuation to the markets. Of course, now they were up over 100%, these top tech stocks in 2023. So this is not unrecognized by the markets. Artificial intelligence, I think it's a real thing. It's not just hype. Many companies are rushing to incorporate it into their business models in order to improve productivity and grow revenues. We're doing it ourselves at Nuveen within the asset management model, where it can be something that is very beneficial to those of us who are investors. So I think artificial intelligence is here to stay, but there will be fits and starts. As with any new technology, there's that euphoric phase where we have the clear winners like Microsoft and NVIDIA. Then there'll be a phase of some consolidation and newer players coming out. I do say, though, that Microsoft and NVIDIA have a very strong lead in artificial intelligence versus other companies. So I think tech is here to stay, but valuations are recognizing that. So we are also recommending diversifying into areas that have lagged, fixed income areas, municipal bonds, infrastructure, which is more resilient to an economic slowdown, dividend growers, which are equity companies that tend to grow their dividend over time. These are areas that have either lagged or are more resilient if we do get that slowdown. And I am concerned about that. I think there still could be implications of the big cycle of rate hikes that we've seen. I think probably a mild recession is something we may see later this year or into 2025.
And just a quick follow-up, if that's okay with you, in regards to just the whole idea of like a mild recession. Why do you think consumers are still, confident in regards to they keep spending, and most importantly, the stock market has still been doing relatively well, given all these circumstances?
Sure. So the same reason that the economy is growing, which is consumer spending and employment markets, will likely be the same reason that we go into a recession. So, great question. Does the consumer continue to spend when we see these levels of inflation, these high interest rates? I think part of that is because of the trillions of stimulus that was put into the economy during the pandemic and the era of over a decade of extremely low interest rates before the pandemic and into the pandemic, all of that basically elongated this positive consumer cycle. And we're also seeing that with very strong employment markets, where the demand for employees, of course, is greater than the supply for employees. All of that together is what's keeping this market going. And markets are going to recognize if the economy can continue to grow in this kind of environment and earnings growth is strong, stocks will be rewarded. And that's what we're seeing. I don't think that stocks will start to price in a recession until we see greater signs of it. I'm watching the same two things we've been talking about: employment markets, the consumer, where we are seeing some increase in delinquencies with consumer credit card debt and auto debt, and also watching earnings for companies. But as I just mentioned, first quarter, especially for technology companies, was very strong.
Gotcha. Perfect. And moving on to kind of the next thing I wanted to touch base on is just in your recent Nuveen 90 video, you mentioned favoring investments in real estate, infrastructure, and farmland. Do you mind walking me through your thought process as to why you see these three asset classes persevering through not only high inflation, but also doing well in 2024? As you know, people like myself, we wouldn't think those three assets are lucrative.
Yeah, well, this is part of my views that we need to make sure we stay diversified in our investments. Look for asset classes that are less correlated to other asset classes. 2023 was a great year for equities and fixed income. But if you go back to 2022, we had the opposite result, where equities and fixed income were highly correlated to the downside. So how can we get away from some of these correlations between asset classes? So first, with farmland, this asset class tends to be an outperformer during periods of inflation. It's over about a 20-year period, it's outperformed CPI by about 8.5%. So this is a inflation resilient business. Infrastructure, this is a business that tends to be more resilient during an economic downturn. Within infrastructure, it's utilities, it's waste management. These are segments that, we tend to take out our garbage and still turn on our lights even during a recession. Also, as supply chains move closer to home, that's positive for building more US infrastructure. And as we move to renewable energy, we need to upgrade our grids. Again, positive tailwind for infrastructure. I like that asset class because of its many tailwinds over the coming decades. And then real estate, this is an asset class that's considered down and out. Commercial real estate has really, kind of given an eyesore to all of real estate across the industry. But for example, public REITs, in their benchmark, commercial real estate is less than 5% of the benchmark. So REITs and real estate are much more than just commercial real estate. And if you look at real estate, it can provide income, which is bond-like, and also asset appreciation, which of course is equity-like. So they have components similar to equities, but different correlations. And I think that's important. We need to have diversified portfolios.
Gotcha. And the last question I wanted to ask you is just like, in regards to just your advice to the next gen of, finance leaders, and most importantly, just the whole idea of diversity in the corporate culture. So to wrap up our conversation, I read an article on your LinkedIn profile encouraging financial services to broaden their interest in diverse candidates and your belief in, mentoring the next generation. Firstly, just would love to hear your thoughts on the importance of this topic, and how do you think having a diverse culture at a firm like Nuveen is beneficial?
I'll start by saying investing is the ultimate meritocracy. What matters is your numbers and your performance. And that's what I love about this business. I'll go back to what we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation. I said, I got my Series 7, 63. I published my own stock market newsletter. I was excited to go to Wall Street. I applied from Cal Poly. I got rejected from every single firm I applied to. And that's why I'm a very strong proponent of educational diversity, which is working with Wall Street to widen the funnel. I think Wall Street needs to increase its hiring from schools that they haven't traditionally hired from, like Cal Poly, where there's a bunch of, very smart, great students, I think, who would do very well on Wall Street. We didn't have, when I graduated, Wall Street firms just didn't recruit from Cal Poly. So I think that's important, and that increases diversity of thought. People taught by different professors through different lenses, a different way of thinking. And we all know that often the way to earn returns and make money is by going against the grain and being different than consensus. So I think the more diversity in that sense, the better. And maybe one more point I'll just make up is I'll also say is being your authentic self. Another thing I learned from early, which I wish I knew earlier in my career, is I often, being a woman and a person of color, I was, the only person who looked and sounded like myself in the room with my particular background. And oftentimes I used to try to fit in. And as I just mentioned in investments, oftentimes going against the grain, being different than consensus is important. I would say if I could tell my younger self something, it's just be your authentic self, because your diverse views and our diverse experiences are what we can bring to the table and also help our investment results.
Gotcha. Perfect. Well, Sarah, thank you for your time and wisdom. It was an honor to have you on the FinanZ podcast to educate next gen of finance leaders. And thank you again, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Logan. It was great to meet you. Good luck to you.
Hey guys, thank you again for tuning into my talk with Sarah Malik. It means a lot, and I'm extremely grateful for you guys' support. Again, check out Magic Mind in the episode description to learn more about the healthy energizer drink. Use my code FINANZ20 for 40% off your next subscription order. If you like this episode, please drop a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify podcast and subscribe. You can follow us for more updates on Instagram at the FINANZ podcast. I hope you all enjoy the podcast, continue to grow, and remember, never stop learning.